Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Danan alongside Charlie Hossack. We are Mike and the Hoss. We're a little loud, aren't we?
We are.
We are a lot loud. Of feedback, John.
John, you good? We're a little loud here.
Wait, is that better? That's better.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's better.
John's an expert, man. He's got this down pat.
He's getting much better,
yeah,
too.
I love it.
How are you?
I'm doing right. It's great. It's 84 degrees according to my car.
I had 78 when I left.
I also came from a different town. Okay, so a little more.
81. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's so 80,
I had,
81 right
I
now.
I had 84, so I'm a little more inland. You know, don't get the sea breeze. We are on the shore, of course. But it's great, sunny, warm. It's
tomorrow's supposed to be warmer.
Yeah, a little warmer tomorrow, and then it's going to cool off a little on the weekend, which is I'm okay. I'm going to do a little bit of the seasonal dog poop cleanup.
Okay.
That's happening to me on Saturday.
Leave it there, fertilize the grass.
No, it's time to clean it up. Yeah, fertilize it.
You know, so. I think I have some golf to play on Saturday,
yep,
which I'm looking forward to, and then I think it's going to be yard work.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to – as the snow has been melting,
yes,
I've been doing little sections of the yard just so many limbs and branches and that kind of stuff,
yes,
came down this year,
yeah,
that it was – as areas have melted, I'm like, oh, my God, look at all that. So
yeah,
I've been picking it up as I go.
That's smart.
So I have a little less to do
than normal.
Yeah, than I would normally do.
Yeah, I got to get my lawn ready for the mowing. I got this great mow guy.
you do, don't you?
He's my lawn man. Yeah, so it's really it makes me feel good. We were together yesterday. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But we were at the home opener for baseball, high school baseball. And it was funny. Actually, I was a little hurt yesterday. You made fun of me when I put my jacket on, but that's okay. We'll talk about
it. That was easy fodder right there. It really was.
Absolutely. But I actually had to put on a winter jacket at one point because it got chilly.
You got a nice CB jacket, and it was
yeah.
Do you remember the CB jacket?
I do. I got a kick out of that that you said your CB jacket.
It just reminded me that blue that was coming out of the CB jackets, and
yeah, they were super popular back in the day.
I love the I have teachers that we're pretty spread out on my team as far as generation. I have somebody that's my daughter's age, and then we go up that's a little bit older than I am. And so,
right,
but most of us are in the similar generation.
Sure.
And just generational references, it's so fun to, when you're having conversations and you make a Seinfeld reference.
Yeah,
or you make
absolutely.
A Cheers reference.
Yeah, exactly.
We were watching Jeopardy. We've been watching Jeopardy with Will at home, which is kind of our thing right now. And we talked about Cliff Clavin on Cheers.
Yes.
The
working for the Postal Service. Yeah.
When he was on Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the episode when he was on Jeopardy and
he cleaned house and then he
bet everything on the final
Jeopardy.
Yeah. And so we pulled it up on YouTube and showed him what that was. So anyway, I'm just ranting right now.
Seinfeld, great show. And it's funny because even Jonathan's kind of watching some of the older shows now. And,
yep.
And it's
what are you guys watching right now? Because we haven't talked about series in a while.
Yeah. So I'm watching still. So I like Superstore, and I had to catch up on. Have you watched any of that?
No.
So it's a sitcom. I was just catching up on the last couple of seasons.
Okay.
My daughter loves it, and we all used to watch it, and then it kind of got away from me. So I've been catching up on those seasons. Which is good. How about yourself?
We just wrapped up season 3 of Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
Will actually is the one who put us onto Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, Scott Harris, plays. He's a friend of the show and he plays golf with me, and he put me onto Peaky Blinders too. But Will was the first one to do it. Set in the early 1920s.
Yeah.
And just it's like Sopranos from the 1920s.
Gotcha.
That's the
Sounds
best
good.
Way I could do it. But set in England. It's really good. It's very, very good. If you like the Sopranos.
Is it like Netflix-ish?
Yes, Netflix, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you like the Sopranos,
yeah, the Sopranos were excellent.
Then you would like Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. You know, on the couch today, my son was sitting there watching a movie, and it was unbelievable. He was watching The Great Gatsby.
Oh, wow.
He's like, I want to check this out. I've never seen it, and that was kind of cool to see.
I remember reading The Great Gatsby.
Oh, my gosh. We were forced to read The Great Gatsby.
We were forced to.
We used to call The Great Gatsby something I can't say on air. You know?
It was
but,
like The Great Gatsby and then like eating Brussels sprouts. I put those in the same picture at the time
because I
was not a big reader in high school.
Yes.
Unlike the rest of my family, they like
they're
reading.
They're avid readers.
Yeah.
I mean, you married an English teacher.
Yeah, but The Great Gatsby was...
I loved of Mice and Men, still one of my favorites. Okay. And I remember, so I was the type of kid in high school that, it was probably similar to you, that got the good grades but never read the books.
Yeah.
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 So I was able to participate in all the conversations and all that stuff, but just didn't read the books. But I read of Mice and Men, and I was just blown away, like, wow. And to this day, I've reread it multiple times. I just love it.
I like that update. For those that don't know, I have an actual game going on right now that I skipped out of.
You are, a little middle school game.
And we're at 0-0 at the start of the second.
That's exciting.
So I'm going to go back. Hopefully, I should get back for the fifth inning, give or take. Might leave you hanging here. We'll see how it goes.
You know, if they listen to the rules that we want to implement in baseball, you wouldn't even make it back to the game because the game would be over.
Well, I actually have some things to talk about with that, which kind of caught me by surprise. Mike and Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro, and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you are there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive 20% off a Gingy Box. You can always join our conversation at 603-569-LAKE or 603-569-5253. And it is trivia day, and I don't know the answer to your trivia question.
I don't believe that. Really?
I have
stumped you? That's great.
I think I have some possibilities, and I'm going to throw some out, you know, when it's time. Hopefully somebody's going to call.
Yes, hopefully somebody's going to call.
We also have, on the show today, we have Mike Shaw, the varsity softball coach. We're going to be talking to him around 4:15,
and we're hopefully going to talk to his captains. We're going to let him talk about the game yesterday, because I don't know if you knew that yesterday's game for softball was absolutely sensational, amazing, crazy stuff happened. So we can let Mike talk about that, or the girls.
Well, my game's flying, so I don't know if I'll make it back. They are moving along.
Do you want to start our opening?
Well, I spent some time with Parker Roberts yesterday.
Oh my gosh! So I'm glad you mentioned that. So the listeners probably want to hear this before.
Do you want to do this?
I'll make it quick. So
I wasn't going to bring it up.
No, it's fine. So I had the opportunity yesterday, and you guys, you know, most of our listeners know how you like to talk about yourself, which is awesome. You know, I love hearing about Mike Dene and Mike Dene's past. When I had brought up if someone had won, you know, an MVP from a losing team, because we were talking about during the Super Bowl when Patrick Mahomes won the MVP, and I, you know, I didn't think he should have. So we had to have that conversation. So I brought it up yesterday with your buddy Parker. And Parker was the coach of the softball team that you should have. And it was really funny. And I appreciated it because he actually went down. I mean, you didn't go into great detail on the show, but he did. He talked about how many at-bats you had. He knew your average. He knew your RBIs. I mean, he knew everything. Which I thought was kind of cool and this was what, probably 20 years ago, Mike?
Yeah, at least.
I mean,
no, it was probably about 20 years ago.
Yeah, and he remembered it you know, the guy that got MVP and, you know, was not even.
Yep.
Yeah. So it was really fun to listen to him.
I feel scorned about the whole thing. Parker's even more scorned.
Yeah, because it was his team.
And it was kind of funny that he was like, yeah, that's right. And he went right stat for stat for
he
stat,
did.
Which
he
is
did.
Pretty cool. But it was nice spending some time with Parker yesterday.
Yeah.
He is a Kennett alum and a big Kennett athlete.
Yes.
You know, in his day.
Now, I didn't. Did he have someone playing yesterday, or was he just he's an avid
so
fan?
His nephew
plays for Kennett.
Jack Robertson. Who played for us?
Oh, Jack! That's his nephew.
That's Parker's nephew.
I didn't even know. I didn't even put that together. Yeah. I love Jack.
Yeah.
So good kid.
So
good.
Anyhow, so all right. Have you caught any of the Red Sox?
I have. Yes.
I'm loving baseball right now and how the games are going. I am hating on the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And I said this is exactly what Chaim Bloom has done in his 4 years to make the Red Sox a better product. I said, what exactly has he done? In 10 games that they've played, they now have a first baseman playing shortstop who did not make the opening day roster.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah. He was in Worcester.
He did not make the opening day roster as a corner infielder, as a first baseman or a DH.
Yes.
The Red Sox farm system is so weak that he was the next logical choice to come up and play shortstop.
Right. Yeah, I mean they had brought him up. He was in, and
guess what he did on his first attempt.
His first one was an error,
and I
watched it a couple times. It was just a routine ground ball.
Oh my god, yeah. Bogart's replacement, this would be Kiki Hernandez. And, you know, we're not necessarily down on Kiki Hernandez.
No, of course
but
not.
We're down on him replacing Xander Bogaerts. Is a utility player, one. Mm-hmm. A center fielder, two. Mm-hmm. And he has proven that we are right because he's batting .083 with five errors in the 11 games.
Right.
Which technically is nine games because he played nine games at shortstop.
Yeah.
The starting pitching has been a joke. I mean, even Pivetta, who threw well the other night when in the 1-0 game,
yeah,
only went five innings. That's Bloom.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Tampa looks really good, but I mean, it's a long season. Every single guy that has a history of injuries is hurt.
They're injured. Yeah.
Think about it. You signed all these guys. You spent millions and millions of dollars signing them. They're all hurt. Yeah.
Starting with Trevor Story.
But they're not. Yeah. It's not a surprise. They have a history of getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know who didn't have a history of getting hurt?
Who?
Xander Bogaerts.
That's true.
He averaged about 150 games a year for the time that he was with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Oh, just throwing that up. This was funny. I was doing this in my class, my advisory this morning, and I got some baseball players in there, and we're saying, is there anything that's good that's going on with the Red Sox right now? And one of my guys is, well, they upgraded the lights at the ballpark.
So you can see all those Red Sox stars much better the field.
Well, they can do the fireworks lights now and stuff. But that was his take. They upgraded the lights.
You got to hit home runs to have the fireworks lights.
The catchers can't hit or throw anybody out.
No.
That's a bad combination.
Connor Wong is not living up to my hype.
No. And then I was making when I wrote this down. I said, but it's going to be awesome. Because
it's going to be awesome.
That's what Chaim Bloom was doing.
And then you hear Chaim Bloom yesterday, his conversation where I don't mind this approach, where he said it's a 162-game season, and it's like essentially like one game at a time. And so we're gonna try to go. This is what he was saying. We're going to try to go out there. I mean, anybody would say this, and win that one game and not worry about anything but that one game. And so he was getting, you know, he was getting some pushback. He was on a radio show, and he was getting some pushback saying that, you know, what's the big picture? You know, I understand the one game. Like, if you have to have Bobby Dalbec play shortstop for one game, which is really weird
in game 10
in April.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. I get it if it's August and you're out of it or whatever, but it's just so bizarre that you didn't have a single shortstop. You couldn't have pulled someone from Portland. Like, just bring a shortstop, a guy that plays shortstop from Portland to play instead of a guy that is not a shortstop.
How about whoever was playing shortstop in Worcester? How about you bring that guy up instead of the guy that's playing first base?
Sure. Yeah.
The problem that Chaim has created is that there is no belief in what's happening on this team. It's really to see the lineup that they're putting out there with your $200 million payroll. I didn't. Did you know that they had this Chan guy that was playing second base?
No.
Last night?
No.
Came out of nowhere. I don't know where he is.
But
he's not a. I mean, he was on four teams last year.
Right.
So they
he's been around.
But why would? Why could you find the shortstop like that?
Yeah.
There's just no depth in the organization. And, you know, Tristan Casas is up. That was supposed to be, you know, a big star. Marcelo Mayer is somewhere in the organization. I don't know where he is.
Right. I think he's still at Worcester.
I mean, he's been a couple years now. Yeah. But there's nothing tangible that you could say, wow, Chaim Bloom is building for the future because he's got this, that, and the other thing in the minors. No, he doesn't.
I mean, they would have been better off. I mean, not that we're managing this team. They would have been better off last night if just putting Devers at shortstop, because Dalbec at least has played third.
Correct.
So that just would have been a logical. Why didn't Alex Cora at least do that? You know what I'm saying? When you're thinking he's a baseball guy.
It makes you wonder how much control Alex Cora has of the lineup, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be really upset, and I feel like this is coming, that Cora's gonna be fired, he's gonna get scapegoated into this whole thing, because
they're gonna try to make an example.
Bloom is the whole thing. He's in denial.
Yeah,
Bloom is in denial, and he says stuff like he said the other night.
Yeah,
Tampa's undefeated. He came from Tampa. We thought we were getting, you know, at least part of the brains of the operation in Tampa.
At least.
We got nothing. No. We got the guy that they were kicking to the curb, obviously, because Tampa's rolling without him. And they have been rolling without him since Chaim Bloom came. And Chaim Bloom has
he actually eviscerated the Red Sox because he got rid of Xander Bogaerts.
He got rid of Mookie Betts.
Now we're left with nothing.
We got Devers.
No, I understand that.
No,
you got Devers. But really, I mean, you can't build around just one guy.
Ownership has to, I know we're going to take a break here, ownership has to get rid of Bloom.
Yes.
They don't want to get rid of Cora. The fan base doesn't want to get rid of Cora. Any kind of story is, it's not Cora's fault. Look who he's got. He's got a first baseman playing shortstop, for crying out loud. To somehow rescue the hope of Red Sox fans, you got to get rid of Chaim Bloom.
Yeah.
You have to. Because if they keep him, when they come back from wherever road trip they're going to,
right?
When they come back, there's going to be no – they're 7 games out.
Yeah.
Right now, they're 7 games out. We're not even at tax day.
They're already
in
a hole.
They're 7 games out.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
What were you going to tell me? Oh, just FYI, when –
All right, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. I believe we have Coach Shaw on the phone. Coach, can you hear us?
Coach Shaw, are you there?
Coach, you there?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
All right, there we go. Great.
Awesome. Hey, first off, thanks for joining the show. And before we jump right in, Coach, can you just – we wanted to save this for you, and I probably should have told you I was going to ask you this. Can you just talk about yesterday's game? I mean, I got all sorts of information here, but I want to just hear it from your perspective.
It was quite an interesting game. It actually didn't go the way we had planned, but, I mean, our pitcher throws a no-hitter with 16 strikeouts, hits a home run and drives in the game-winning RBI. Pretty impressive, but you know, wasn't expecting that to go into extra innings, and wasn't expecting the score to be quite that low. Only 3 strikeouts on us. We hit the ball. We just kept hitting them to the other team.
Yeah.
Well, how did they get their run, Coach?
It was a run reached on an error.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it was the just top of the 7th with 2 outs. The ball was hit back to Morgan, and it was just a bad throw, and she got on, and that's how she scored. So,
okay.
Overall, the girls look great. We're going to work on hitting a little bit more today. I think we'll definitely be a lot better shape tomorrow by far. She had a weird pitch. It was difficult. So.
Overall, how's the spring gone so far, like preseason? I mean, obviously we've opened up already, but how has your season gone so far in terms of getting ready?
Overall, pretty good. You know, I had 5 scrimmages lined up, but we got 1.
Wow.
You know, it's just been that kind of spring, guys, where it's, you know, a lot of snow. We just finally, you know, it's 40 last week. It's 80 today. You know,
right. So. You got to go to Florida, Coach. Coach, go to Florida next year.
You know what? We're actually planning on it. The girls are fundraising right now, so that is the plan for next year.
Yeah, it obviously paid off for the boys. They got, you know, 4 games under their belt down there and got to actually see some field, which was nice.
Yeah, yes. It definitely helps.
Well, I don't want to sound like Coach Skelly, but I'm going to a little bit because you've got a good team. You got some pressure, Mike, this year. We enjoyed the run last year, but I know that the ultimate goal is bringing home that championship. So how do you kind of, as a coach, and you know, work with your players, because the expectations are very high.
They are. It's a lot of pressure on me in a sense, because like I was telling the girls the other day, we're practicing. I'm looking around at them. They're all wearing different travel ball uniforms. I have 7 girls that play for 5 different travel ball teams, and you also put the Wolverines in with that. The girls have been working in the fall. This is probably the most promising roster that Kingswood softball has ever seen. So, you know, we got some young girls on the team. I brought up 3 freshmen this year. I just think it's our year. The girls actually came up with a motto this year, a slogan, if you want to call it, unfinished business.
Nice.
So they're ready. You know, they're not happy about what happened last year. They're ready this year. So.
Yeah, that's exciting. You want to talk a little bit about the season, upcoming season? You know, who, first of all, some of your star players, who your captains are, and then, of course, what teams we need to be on the lookout for?
This year, Morgan Stevens and Carly Johnson are our team captains. They're with me here today. Abby Heald is also here. She's my 1 senior on the team this year. The next 2 games, honestly, should be are taken. We just need to go out and play good ball. It's Plymouth and Laconia. The schedule at Pelham, of course, tomorrow should be a pretty good game. I know he struggled last year. He's got a young team this year too. So hoping for a better offensive game tomorrow from us. And then after that, it gets a little complicated because, you know, you play Stark with the D2 pitcher of the year last year. You play Cole Brown the next game, and then we got Merrimack Valley in there. And, you know, there's going to be definitely a challenge when it gets to that point. But I know we're up for it. The girls can see it and taste it this year. I know it.
So. Coach, besides you guys, who do you look at as the team that you're going to have to get over the top of in Division II?
Cole Brown, for
okay.
sure. They're just so well-balanced. They've got a really good program. They didn't lose their pitcher. They did lose a couple girls, but they're still solid. I know. You know, like I said, John Stark would probably be some of the strongest pitching we face, but Cole Brown's the most well-balanced team, I believe.
Coach, you said you have the girls with you?
I do.
Awesome. We'd love to speak to them. Can they hear us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. All right. Hey, ladies. Just wanted to kind of touch base. If you guys wouldn't mind just kind of giving you, we've heard Coach Shaw's perspective. We'd just love to hear from you as captains and, of course, as a senior. How do you look at this team? Kind of what excites you about the team? And we know that championship is obviously the end goal, but what do you do to get there, you know, game by game?
Morgan. Oh, okay. I guess I'm going. We started earlier this year with winter workouts, and more people were showing up from, like, our varsity-level team. And we just, like, we don't focus on the games ahead. Like, we focus on the game that we're going to next more than just, like, oh, we have to worry about Cole Brown, so let's practice for playing Cole Brown. You know what I mean? Like, we're focused this practice for the game tomorrow, and then we just go one game at a time and just
good.
Yeah, that makes perfect. Yeah, makes perfect sense. Done. Yeah,
that's what championship teams do. Carly, how about you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. How's your season gone so far?
Really well. You know, we were stuck inside for the longest time, but we're excited to finally have our third practice outside.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a good season.
Nice.
That's great. Abby, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
So, Abby, did Coach Shaw say you're the only senior on the team?
I am the only senior.
You are the only senior. So you have been through it for the past 4 years, and obviously it's an exciting time for you. What taking a look back from you, like kind of your freshman year coming up, kind of looking at the teams, what do you notice different about this year's team?
There's a lot more energy around the team, and we've all kind of come together as a team, and I don't know, we're just really connected this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's funny, I've seen some of your not you personally, Abby, but the team's social media posts, and it looks like you guys have really gelled together as a team, which is fun to see. What are your plans, Abby, next year once you graduate from Kings? What are you planning on doing?
Well, I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking at a two-year school and then majoring in business.
Excellent. You can't go wrong with business. That's great.
Nice. Coach, you want to highlight some of the other girls that are on the team?
So we still have Adrian Tebbs back behind the plate. We have Regan out in right field again. Eva Zavez is playing first along with Abby. We have now added Kaylin Blattenberger's out in left field. She's a freshman. Mackenzie Bavere, our JV coach's daughter, she's been playing third. Avery's been holding down shortstop, looking good. Her bat's looking really strong this year, too. Still Danny Kaminsky is still here. Who else do we have? I'm trying to think.
Sophie
Ford's back. I'm trying to go through the positions in my head here. Lily Scott's been added to the team. She's a freshman. And Sophie Ford's back at second. And she actually, we only had 5 hits yesterday. Sophie actually had 2 of them. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, the girls are playing good ball, and we are excited. We're excited about it this year. And, you know, they're bonding very well. I do think this has probably been one of the better bonding teams that I've seen yet. So I hope that takes them a long way because it's important for sure.
Well, that's great, Coach. It sounds like you got everything where you needed to go. You're also very young. So that's pretty impressive.
Yes, we are. I'm still very, you know, fortunate to have Carly and Morgan for another year next year. And yeah, I mean, you know, Abby's the only senior I'm losing.
Wow.
So, you know, we are very young.
and he's very excited about the program and all. There's four girls on the seventh grade team and like three or four on the eighth grade team that also play travel ball, and a couple of very decent pitchers down there. So we're hoping, we'll be in the mix for years to come.
Well, it sounds great, Coach. You seem to got it going. You know how it works when you make the playoffs. We are going to have you back on the show to preview that. So we'll talk to you in about 7 weeks.
Absolutely.
All right. Good luck. Good luck, girls.
Thanks, ladies. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Go Knights. Yeah. Awesome. Great to hear from Coach Shaw and a couple of his captains and his senior, Abby Heal.
That's
great.
He's setting up for kind of a dynasty going on right now. I mean, if they can get over the hump this year,
yes,
then they would be the favorites next year for sure.
Yeah.
And there are some girls at the middle school level that are coming up. It's just one of those swells where a lot of travel ball kids are playing and taking softball seriously.
Which is great to see.
When we got on the bus driver said, well, you guys are going to be talking and stuff like that. I said, I'm assuming so. They're middle schoolers. He said, well, when the high school softball team gets on there, it's all business.
Yes.
It's all business. I was like, well, they're on a mission.
Yeah. And I like that. I mean, it goes back to, Coach McCullough, who we love, always talked about, going there, it's a business trip.
Business trip.
And then, when you take care of business, then you can have a little chit-chat on the way back. But I like that. All business.
The baseball team won yesterday.
Yes.
Won their home opener, 11-6. That's actually their opener, period.
It was their opener. Happened to be a home opener.
It was against Kennett. And it was a little bit of a roller coaster for a little while.
It was. Yeah. Kingswood went up 3-1 and then kind of gave the lead to Kennett. Kennett was up 4-3 and then eventually 6-3.
I think Colby Brown looked really good.
Yes.
In that game. He came in relief.
And Colby's a freshman.
Yeah, Colby's a freshman. I thought the offense looked okay. I think that, there was, especially early on, it seemed to get the bat on the ball, and they went quiet for a little while, and then they get the bat on the ball towards the end of the game, too. The defense looked real good.
Yeah.
And I thought they looked fast. I thought they had some team speed out there. Mm-hmm. Which is more than we've seen in the past. And so, they did what they had to do. They had to win. Now, Kennett gave them every opportunity to win, too.
And Kingswood took advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting.
It's a good win. They're tomorrow. They're at home tomorrow at 4 against Pelham.
Yep.
And Pelham historically has had in the past good programs. Talked to Coach Skelly today. And Coach Skelly made a point. Pelham, as a school, they have a history of winning things. So, the football team, so they know how to win. So he is expecting some stiff competition tomorrow.
Well, I think they're going to get it. I think they're going to get it. And winning is contagious. And so you get progress winning. We see what's happened with Guilford this past year.
Oh, my gosh. They pretty much won every state title.
They won the soccer title.
Yeah.
Did they win the football title?
Guilford Belmont did.
They did?
They won, yeah.
They won the basketball title and they won the hockey title.
Yeah. So
I'd be curious to go back in history how many schools have done that.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah,
they've great programs over there at Guilford.
All right, well, get your phones ready. When we come back, it's going to be trivia time. Sponsored by the Full Belly Deli.
No, it's not.
No, not Full Belly Deli. Sorry,
it's sponsored by the Back Bay Boathouse.
By the way. All right, welcome back. We forgot to mention that Kingswood Sports brought to you by Bailey's Bubble.
Yeah, and the bubble will be opening up right around Mother's Day coming up.
I mean,
soon.
Complete remodel, rebuilt. Really, it was just completely
inside and out.
Might have driven by and seen that. It has a much different look to it.
And they sponsor Kingswood Sports, which is great, and we're grateful. And you were saying that trivia, which is coming up shortly, is sponsored by the Back Bay Boathouse.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, what are we going to do?
Should we do trivia? Let's get trivia so we give people an opportunity to call. So if you call 603, don't forget to put a 1 in front of it, right, John? 1-603-569-5253. That's 603-569-5253. Give us the correct answer to the trivia question. You're going to win yourself a free appetizer at the Back Bay Boathouse. All right, Mike, here it is. You figured it out during our break. Who is the oldest player to make the Masters cut? So Masters just happened last week. Golf tournament, of course. Who is the oldest player to make the Masters cut? If you know who it is, 603-569-5253 to win a free appetizer from the Back Bay Boathouse.
You put some Masters cool facts. We haven't had cool facts in a while.
I know, man. I love cool facts. So let me hit some cool facts. And you probably know some of this stuff. Here are some Masters cool facts. And as you guys know, the Masters just had a champion. This past weekend. All right. The course architect, who is Alistair McKenzie, never saw his famous course completed. He died, unfortunately, 2 months before the inaugural Masters tournament. Looks like we're getting a call.
We're getting a call.
It's exciting. All right.
Hello, you're calling Mike and the Hoss. You there?
Hi there.
All right.
Hey.
You got an answer
for us? Do you know who the oldest player to make the cut?
Fred Couples.
You got that correct.
Well done.
And then it happened this year. He's 63 years old. He made the cut. Thanks so much. You're going to get yourself a free appetizer from Back Bay Boathouse.
Yep. Stay on the air, and John's going to take your information, and then you head down to the Back Bay Boathouse, give them your name, and free appetizer will be waiting for you.
Don't forget to tell them that Mike and the Hoss sent you.
Yeah, right on.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, awesome. So next cool fact is Gary Player, Mike, is the only Masters winner to not have his jacket locked up at Augusta. He was able to keep it by forgetting to bring it back after he won the 61 tournament. And right now you can see that jacket at the World Golf Hall of Fame in St. Augustine, Florida. Other things, Masters officials. Do you know any of these things that I'm sharing with you? The cool facts. So Masters officials have been known to remove tournament announcers who do not follow club decorum, saying the words such as fans or spectators
patrons.
Is not allowed.
Patrons
or the gallery.
Yeah.
Yes. And then on Tuesday night of tournament week, the last year's winner gets to host the champions dinner, and that winner chooses what will be on the menu. Kind of the coolest one was the first time Tiger Woods has won the Masters 5 times. The first time Tiger Woods won the Masters, his champions dinner was cheeseburgers, chicken sandwiches, French fries, and milkshakes. So if you look at the kind of modern day menus, it's kind of upscale. You know, it's a swordfish with something fancy on it. But Tiger Woods, his first year winning it, he kind of kept it simple.
This year was Scottie Scheffler's, and he's a Texas guy. So guess what they had?
They had some steaks, ribeyes.
Ribeyes,
and he had some cheeseburger sliders. And firecracker shrimp or something like that.
They take a photo of everybody, the group photo, and it's really neat going through and looking at the history and see who's and obviously they've changed. Some of them are not young.
No,
to see how they look and try to identify. I remember that one. So.
Yeah, it was cool because looking at Tiger Woods, the first meal that I read to you, by his fifth meal, his palate has changed significantly.
That's true. He's more on the Tom Brady.
He's not going to put cheeseburgers into his body anymore.
Before we get to all the Boston sports, you have an opening take, and I want to tie it in with one of my middle school.
My opening take is simple, and it says local coaches just don't get it. What I'm talking about is local baseball coaches, Mike. And, one of the things that I'm going to say we, because we're kind of part of this, is that we want to improve baseball. And we have, we being Mike and Charlie and some other people, have a little bit of power in the sense that we sit on a local board, the Kingsville Cal Ripken board, and have the opportunity to try to improve the game of baseball. So we had made some suggestions, and some people might consider them a little radical. It's things we've talked about on the show, but what I'm kind of getting at is that the game of baseball, and we're seeing it at the major league level. We saw it in spring training how the pace of the game has changed. The I was probably if you look back to some of our shows 2 years ago, Mike, I would have been adamantly opposed to everything that's happening in baseball right now because I was a traditionalist, a purist. How dare you do this? Baseball's been around for over 100 years. You would have heard me saying that. And I love what's happening. And I think getting younger kids excited for baseball, it needs to change really with them. I mean, the guys that are in the majors have spent their whole lives playing baseball. They're not going anywhere. They're making a ton of money. They're not going to be like, I'm not going to play anymore.
Right.
So we need to get these 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds to get excited about the game. And standing around a field for 2.5 to 3 hours is not going to get you excited about a game.
I think it would be criminal not to make changes at the youth level when the Major League Baseball is changing them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. We tried. So we had our same topic. We had our first middle school game this past Tuesday, and we were in Laconia. And over the past 8, 9, 10 years, middle school games have been pretty good. You know, they've been my first 4 or 5 years though. It was rough. Games lasted for a long time.
Drag. Yep.
So we do the home plate meeting, and the umpire says, "Well, you know, these are the rules that we would like to play with." And I was like, "Whoa, here we go!" And an hour and 45 minutes.
Yep.
I said, "Okay, that's, you know, we're usually 2 hours, but an hour and 45. Okay, that's fine."
Yeah.
Maximum runs allowed in an inning. So like we do at Cal, 5 runs in an inning, and or if you get one time through the lineup every inning.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get, which was, so the coach and I, but we actually didn't do it except for the hour and 45. We said we'll adopt that one. We ended at an hour and 40. Because it was the first game, and I wanted to see what we looked like.
Sure.
But it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. This umpire brought it himself. He brought those rules himself. So today, the game that they're playing today at Kingswood, we have a 2-hour time limit. That's traditionally where we've been, you know, but we hold that 2-hour time limit.
Sure.
And we don't start an inning afterwards. And I think the habit of playing quicker is going to help these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned, I don't know if I'm going to make it back for the end of the game because they're playing very fast.
Right.
You know, they're running in and out of the field. It's the impetus to play quicker is better. This, for me and you, it stems back to that semifinal game last year in Cal Ripken.
Yeah, at the minors level.
At the minors level, the game lasted 2.5 hours. I couldn't believe it. 8 of those kids that played in that game are not back in baseball. They went to do something else. That in itself should have made the change. They said, we got to make some changes. We recognized it.
We recognized that.
We had a tough time getting it through the coaches.
And the most fit player on the field that day was the catcher because he had to go back to the backstop every single pitch because the kid couldn't throw a strike.
Yeah. And this was not a game that was necessarily well played. This was that the pitchers could not throw strikes. We felt so bad for the kids that were in right field and center field. The ball was never going to be hit
anybody
that way.
In the outfield. Yeah.
So our changes were not adopted this year. Maybe next year they will be. You have to take some time to chew them and swallow them. And just like you said, 2 years ago, you would not have been for this.
That's right.
And in all fairness, if my child was in the minors,
it would have
taken me a little bit of time to process it. But I do believe that once you played the first game, that you would have realized that was a better way to go.
Yes.
When parents are going home after an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes, rather than 2.5 hours,
mm-hmm.
parents are like, this is not bad. You go play a lacrosse game, it takes an hour. You go play a soccer game, it takes an hour. You go play a baseball game, it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And that's the fault of not the kids. That's the fault of the adults, because the adults have the ability to make the change. The changers are there. The changes were approved by the board.
Yes.
The changes are right there, but there's some resistance to it.
Right. And the changes are there to improve the game of baseball, not take anything away from any of the players, but just to be able to get the kids actually to be able to play baseball.
Let's just let's leave that. Red Sox, I know we talked about it, my opening take. They're 7 games back.
Yeah. They're 5-7 right now. They lost the last 3, and do you have an? I can let me get an update. They're playing right now, Mike. So let's find out how they're doing.
Did you watch there's a dark cloud over this team, and did you watch the Zach Kelly stuff last night? Zach Kelly was the reliever who went into the game. Did you hear about this?
I did. I saw the whole thing. The Red Sox lost today, just so you know. So they were swept by the Rays. They're now 5-8.
Okay, so that means the Rays are 13-0.
They are.
That's correct. You know when the last time a team started in baseball 13-0?
I don't have they has ever
1900.
Oh, gosh.
1900 was the last time a team started 13-0 in baseball.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, what was the score? 9-3?
9-3.
They're not even coming close.
9-3, yeah. No, it just, they gave up 7 runs in the bottom of the 5th.
Who started?
Let me get all the info for you.
So,
but keep talking.
Well, it's just,
Kluber.
Okay.
So he pitched 4.2 innings. He had 4 hits, 4 earned runs. A walk, 7 strikeouts.
It's not horrible. He got into the 5th, and then the bullpen, which is supposed to be the strength of the team.
Yeah, fell apart.
Nice job, Heim. Yeah. It was reminiscent of the Patriots, and I put this in our notes. Reminiscent of the Patriots last season, because when they did all their coaching stuff, right, with Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator and Joe Judge and so on, there was no hope. We were sitting here like, this is awful. This is embarrassing. This is awful. They hadn't even started. They hadn't even gone to camp yet. That's what this feels like. There was no hope in spring training.
No.
Really, you had to be a really glass-half-full Red Sox fan to be thinking that this team was going to do anything. When you look at the lineup and you got Rafe Snyder batting, you know, leadoff, and
right.
you got Chang batting second, who you've never heard of, wasn't on a team. And then you got Bobby Dalbec, your first baseman, playing in minors, coming up and playing shortstop at the big league level. It didn't make any sense.
No hope.
No hope. And does anybody care? In the organization, not talking the players, I'm not talking the manager.
Fans care, of course. Yeah, right.
Yes,
yeah.
But I'm talking about from general manager through ownership. Do you think they care?
It doesn't seem to be. I think it's all dollars and cents.
That's it, right?
It's, yeah, it's just
we made $77 million last year in profit.
This is business.
And we're going to still make that profit. And so it's not going to change until they stop making a profit.
Could the Red Sox ever turn into Oakland? You know what I'm saying? You look at Oakland now, and they have like 5,200 fans at the Coliseum for a game.
Could they? I don't think they can, because I think that there's a Robert Kraft in the wings somewhere that is a deep pocket Red Sox fans that's saying, no, we're not doing this to this team. This team makes too much money for us to be putting out an Oakland.
It's too important to me.
It's too important. And, I mean, it's just... You know, you could have gone down to opening day and bought a ticket.
Yeah, which is crazy. That's unheard of.
Wait till they come back from this road trip.
Yeah.
Wait till you see how many seats are available. The poor scalpers and the StubHubs of the world, and you don't need to. You just got to go down to the gate and, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to the ticket window.
There's no line there. You're just going to go get a ticket.
Yeah.
And you can probably sit in any section of the field that you want.
Yeah. That's true. It's sad.
You know, the jumping back to speeding up the game, you know who's hurting the most in speeding up the game in the MLB?
Who?
Beer sales.
Oh.
They're expecting that each team's going to lose about $1 million in beer sales.
They're going to have to change their rules, because normally they stop selling.
They already did.
Oh, stop selling after the seventh.
Half
right?
the teams now, they've added an inning. They're so after
get to
the eighth
out of
now.
The eighth now.
Yeah, but my guess is going to be, please stay. Buy our beer.
Please. They're going to have festivities after the game, you know, like fireworks and things.
They probably will.
The Red Sox are going to show their lights off.
They're not going to have a lot of reason.
Stay for the lights.
Neil Diamond's going to sing a song. Maybe that's going to be the only reason they're going to be doing that.
Maybe.
All right, when we come back, we got some Celtics Bruins playoff talk, and I think that's maybe a little bit of quarterback competition.
Sounds good.
All right. All right, welcome back to Mike and the Haas on WASR. We are powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm echoing John.
That's
thank
right.
you.
John's got you. Don't worry.
Well, he doesn't got me yet.
Oh,
there you go.
There it is. I'm going to have to start. I'm getting. If my arms were just a little bit longer. I know. I need to start doing that, John.
Celtics and Bruins playoffs are starting. We'll start with the Celtics. They get Atlanta in the first round.
Starting Saturday.
They're 4-0 against Atlanta this year.
Yeah.
They should beat Atlanta.
I was going to say, I don't think there's...
It's a good draw for them.
I don't think there's a worry about the first round.
That's a good draw for them.
Definitely.
I
think it's actually better than the Heat.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And after the first round?
Yeah.
I mean, they finished second, so that means that they're going to end up with Philadelphia most likely in the second round.
Yeah.
Because Philadelphia, I think, was third.
Yep. Yeah.
So most likely they're going to get Philadelphia.
Bucks, Celtics.
Yeah.
Sixers.
Historically, they've done well. This group has done well against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I don't believe in this team. They're going to have to get through. They're going to have to get through the East for me to believe in this team.
Right.
And that's just based on how they've played.
And I think looking at the top three teams, right, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the 76ers, I think whoever emerges from the East is your NBA champion. So if the Celtics can get through.
You don't think Golden State's, you know, in the wings waiting to get the, you know, Phoenix has been playing well.
Yeah, I do, but I still think the East is a better conference this year, better teams. But I think, so getting back to at least the first round, you know, I think, I'm not going to, I think it's hard to sweep. So, you know, I think, you know, Atlanta gets one of the games.
Well, we're going to know how the Celtics, where their head's at when they go into this series, because if they go in playing at 50%, mm-hmm. which I truly believe that they could because they're like,
played
oh,
out
we,
of the Hawks
we
level.
Got this
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Celtics lose the opening game.
Can you imagine, like, Celtics Nation? What they'd be off.
There's a lot of there's a lot of Celtics Nation that think like you and I do.
Yeah, that is true.
That this team is not likable, and I think I used that before. I don't think this team's likable. I don't think Marcus Smart is likable.
No,
I don't think Jason Tatum has endured himself to the fans with hard work and grittiness. No, Jason Tatum cares about his shoe deal that he just got and how magical it's been that he's gotten a shoe deal.
I think
that
this
he
is,
has not a shoe deal, his own shoe.
His own shoe. This is the end, though. I don't think you're going to see the Jays together again on the court. You know, I think this, you win it all, awesome. If you don't win it all, the band's going to get broken up anyway. So
I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
I know that there's something about this team. The Bruins, on the other hand, are very likable.
They're having an okay season.
They're very likable. Yes. So they set the record for all-time wins.
Yeah.
They set the record for all-time points the other night.
Yep.
They are going into this. They're, like I said, they're very likable, very team-oriented. They're fun to watch. Mm-hmm. They're tough to play against. Playoff hockey is different. We've talked about that for years. Playoff hockey is different. I'm optimistic that the Bruins are still going to be able to rise to playoff hockey. I'm worried. There's one guy I'm worried about. Just one.
Yeah.
David Pastrnak. Because he's been shut down before in the playoffs with very physical play. And the Bruins down the stretch, and it could be they were just trying to get him the points, you know, but they were really reliant on Pastrnak. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was going to hat trick here, four assists here, hat trick here.
Sure.
They're not going to have to break that habit. They're going to have to be a four line team. They're going to have to just hit everybody that comes. It's going to have to be true playoff hockey. I said that they have the 07 Patriots pressure.
Oh, absolutely.
They've
set every single record possible, right? They went out and accomplished it, even though they, listening to them, they weren't trying to accomplish it. It just happened. I don't think that they were like, oh, let's go get all-time wins. Let's get all-time points. And once it was within their reach, they said, okay,
we'll go.
We're going to do it. Yeah. We're going to do it. So I think you're right. I think anything but a cup is a failure for the team. I think anything but a cup is a failure for the fans. Like I think it'd be hard for the fans not to have that.
And that's 07 Patriots pressure.
Yeah.
Now, one of the Allmark got hurt the other night.
Yeah. Mike Montgomery kind of downplayed it though. So, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, the Bruins have this Patriots vibe when it comes to injury reporting.
Yeah.
You're
not going to disclose everything.
It's upper body injury. It's lower body injury,
yeah.
And that's it. And he downplayed it, but. This is where the pressure comes in. If they were the fifth seed,
yeah.
And you're platooning Swayman and Allmark, you wouldn't think twice about it.
Right.
But when you're this team, who has broken every record that there is, as a team can break, when you're which most likely is going to be your starting goalie, they're probably not going to platoon. I think Swayman will see some time, but it's going to be Allmark.
Yeah.
It's different. It's just different because you're looking for what's going to fall on this team. Is Bergeron going to get hurt? Is McAvoy going to get hurt? Is Pastrnak not going to get hurt?
Yeah.
You're looking for something that's going to fall because everything has gone so well for this team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wonder when is it going to happen? So, I'm looking forward to it. That's a team that I could see them going 8-0 in their first two series.
Yeah, just sweeping it?
Yep. I can see. I think they're going to dominate. I think they're going to run into problems in the Eastern Conference Finals. Whenever they play Tampa,
I was going to say they're going to get the Lightning.
Whenever they get to the Lightning is when that's when the wall's going to be because the Lightning are arguably the second best team in the league.
Yeah.
If the Bruins are the best team, the Lightning are the second best team, and they could see. I don't know where the final standings were, but they could see the Lightning in the second round. So maybe they're not going to go 8-0. And the Lightning, that's a hardened playoff team with a lot of top-tier talent. Patriots, real quick.
Yes.
Quarterback competition.
I like it.
Do you like it?
I like it a lot. Yeah, I think obviously I love competition, and especially since Bill's not sold on Mac Jones, and he's kind of made that clear. And some of the players, you've seen this. I mean, Devin McCourty being one of them, had made the comment that a lot of the players on the team like Bailey Zappe. Like, just they like that spark. And I'm not saying that Bailey Zappe is going to be the QB1 or is even the future of the Patriots, but having a little competition is great.
Can Mac handle the competition?
I don't
know. He handled it with Cam Newton.
I think so. I mean, he handled it in Alabama, so.
He handled it in Alabama.
Yeah, so I think so. I mean, I think he's a competitor. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Do they still shop Mac? Do they shop Mac and see what they can get?
I'm guessing that Mac has a for sale sign on his chest.
Yeah.
And that Bill has made a lot of phone calls. This would not be happening if Bill was on board with Mac. He's not on board with Mac. He doesn't like Mac Jones. He doesn't like how Mac Jones, even though I don't blame Mac Jones for behaving the way he did last year.
Right.
But Bill does. And it doesn't matter what Mike thinks. It matters what Bill thinks.
Yeah.
I'm really, really close to saying it's time for Bill to shut it down.
Yeah, I know. You've been saying that.
You know, and I'm really close. And that it hurts me because I was... But when the Brady Belichick stuff was happening, I thought Bill all the way. When they had to choose between Brady and Belichick, I said Bill all the way. Team first,
yeah.
Not the individual. Team first. Bill has let me down. He has let me down on some of the stuff, and there's no denying it. The decisions that he made last year were what a senile man would do. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't make any sense. They didn't make any football sense, and he really took a lot of the trust away from the fans that they had for him.
Yeah, and the Ian Bill we trust. I mean, he clearly showed loyalty, but it was loyalty to his old coaches.
Yeah, I can't say Ian Bill we trust anymore.
Right.
I can't. I don't know.
So, but how... I guess the question we always come back to, how is he going to get Shula's record? I mean, the only opportunity for him to get it is with the Patriots. I mean, he's not going to leave the Patriots and become a head coach somewhere else that's going to then go on and win.
But he can't do it with the Patriots... thinking we can't be mediocre for the next 3 or 4 years without an attempt to be better. And that's the problem. There's not an attempt to be, just like the Red Sox. There's not an attempt to be better. Where's DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah.
Where's Judy? Where's the big free agent signing? No, it's like Chaim Bloom's running the organization over there. It's just, it's bargain basement past injured guys.
Yeah. Taking a risk. Maybe this guy will, do something.
So I don't know. I don't think it's, I'm close, and that's a big step for me. And to say that I'm ready to be done with Bill, mm-hmm. because I've enjoyed the last 23 years.
Yeah, it's been a great ride,
ride's been a little bumpy over the past couple of years, especially last year.
Yeah,
I'll give him a pass in the COVID year. That was just weird. Cam Newton couldn't throw, and
sure.
And then the following year they make the playoffs, but again it was. Treading water making the playoffs.
Right.
It wasn't like this team's up and coming.
And then losing the first
but
game.
But what I mean? This team's right. not up and coming.
Yeah. They made it, and then next year they can, yeah. There's nothing. No, there's nothing, no next year.
No, you're not saying, they got some stars. And it's tough to say Mac Jones is a star.
Right.
And it's tough to say Ramondre Stevenson is a star because running backs come and go left, all the time.
Yeah.
Matthew Judon was basically the only star they had.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to name a lot of guys on this team because same way it's tough to name a lot of the Red Sox players. They're just not that kind of team.
Right.
So, anyway. All right, we're going to wrap this up.
Love to.
All right. We want to once again thank our advertisers supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the MM Shop. Thanks to Faymore, Berkshire Hathaway,
Seco Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
Hancock Lumber,
the Back Bay Boathouse,
and the Heinz Group of Philadelphia and London.
We will be back next Thursday for more Mike and the Hoss. Have a great weekend.